Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, you tell us more, your emails and comments in Backtalk. But first, it's time for a shape-up at the barbershop where the guys talk about the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, political science professor Lester Spence, editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist. This week, I hear the guys want to talk about John Edwards' Road to One America tour, local police enforcement of immigration rules, and Atlanta Falcon Michael Vick's legal troubles. Also, a new cable show gets some folks upset. I may jump in once or twice, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. What's up?
What's happening?
Hey, man.
What's
good
up?
Hey. All right, well, let's jump right in the mix, talking about John Edwards on his poverty tour. Now, ostensibly, he wants to see the blight firsthand, but I can't tell if it's legit or if it's just him touring the other side of the tracks. Now, he's talking about ending poverty in 30 years, but, you know, I don't know. Michelle?
Hey, Jimmy. Oh, hold on. You want to hear it a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Drop that.
Okay, here's a clip.
The one thing we want to make certain that America understands is that poverty is not a New Orleans problem or a Cleveland problem or a Pittsburgh problem. It's an American problem.
There you go, gentlemen. Proceed.
All right. Thanks so much for that, Michelle. And thank you, Zippy Edwards. Now, check this out. Spence, come on now. You know, it sounds like he's drinking whatever Dennis Kucinich is drinking. Are you buying it?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Really?
Yeah, I'm buying it. Yeah, I mean,
oh,
it's really
snap.
Funny. There are a couple of things that are funny about it. One is the interesting thing is that it's the white guy who brings up poverty first. You know, it's not mm-hmm. it's not the woman. It's not the black guy. It's the white guy who's actually blonde hair and blue eyes, I think. That's the first thing that's funny. The second thing, though, is that as soon as he brings this up, what people do is they talk about how paid he is. Like, how he's going to bring it up and get $400 haircuts.
Right.
You know what I'd like to see? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see those same people call for a crackhead to be the next drug czar. Yeah,
Ruben?
I think he should just get rid of his million-dollar job, and I think he should just go smoke crack on the corner. And then I think he'd be a lot more legitimate.
Okay, it's not even just the four.
Go ahead, Ruben. What do you think?
It's just not even the $400 haircuts. It's the fact that he lives in this 28,000-foot mansion, and that this is not an issue that in the past, in the last presidential election, he was running for vice president. He was talking about two Americas and all that, but this seems to be sort of made out of whole cloth for him, and it looks a little contrived. But you know, the RFK thing is interesting because Bobby Kennedy came from money. Let's not forget. He empathized with folks, and he projected a kind of empathy with the poor and the downtrodden for various reasons, particularly after his brother was assassinated. But he came from money. Not everybody can pull it off. Bobby pulled it off. I'm not sure. I'm with the gang on this. I'm not sure Edwards is pulling it off.
Right, no, I'm in the gang.
Hold up. Jimmy, can I say something? If you're drowning and somebody throws you a rope from a boat, do you care how expensive the boat is?
Oh, they do.
Michelle, do. You know what? Michelle, that's a well-made point, but I don't want them to be throwing me a rope for a photo op. You know what I'm saying? I mean, throw me the rope because you genuinely are trying to save me.
Who cares? If you're drowning,
well,
what
care.
Do you care?
Well,
okay, so,
well,
like,
I mean, well, wait a
like,
second.
Wait
no,
a minute. Go ahead, Lester.
Hold,
take it. But I'm just saying.
No. Look at his policies. Look at his policies. Look, he's the only one. He was the first one to talk about making these subprime mortgage loans, that whole check cashing deal illegal. He was one of the first people that he actually opened his campaign talking about New Orleans long after everybody ignored it. I mean, if we wanted people to be broke to talk about poverty, who would be in office?
No,
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Lester, but
go ahead, Arsalan.
You got to be kidding me.
We talk about Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy did his poverty tour well before his presidential campaign. And now, in the midst of a heated presidential campaign, John Edwards somehow suddenly sees the light in order
It's not suddenly. He's been doing this for the last 4 years.
Okay, no. gentlemen, forget about it. Here's me. As far as I'm concerned, it's a low-tech, high-gloss photo op. He's too good to pander like this, but he gets an A for effort. Now, let's keep it moving. Moving on, let's check in on the immigration debate. Hotter than ever this summer. Now, jobs are scarce, resources are stretched, and people are cutting their eyes at the immigrant population. Coast to coast, immigrants are getting no love. Ruben, break it down for us, bro.
Right. Yeah, it's about all these things, Jimmy. It's about the fact that the federal government and Congress couldn't get their act together, that actually there was this sort of strange alignment of the stars whereby liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans helped kill immigration reform. So local towns and cities have taken it upon themselves to try to get at the problem as they see it. So
what's going on in New Orleans?
In New Orleans, you know, they've decided to go attack a whole different part of the problem as they see it, and that's the food, if you can believe it or not. They're actually going after taco trucks. There's a member of the city council in New Orleans who's proposing an ordinance to eliminate or to heavily regulate taco trucks because suddenly in this city that is world famous for its wonderful cuisine, there is this concern that this is not the kind of cuisine they want.
Well, and
this is not about tacos, and this is not about taco trucks, I'll tell you.
Hey, A-Train, how does this sound to you? What is it about?
Well, it's about anti-immigrant hysteria in our country. You know, the banning of taco trucks in New Orleans is like the moral equivalent of banning falafel stands in the Big Apple.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're visiting the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Lester Spence, and Arsalan Iftikhar. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Now, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about Atlanta Falcon Mike Vick.
Oh, man.
Getting
oh,
bit oh. on solid. Hold on. Check it. Now, your boy Mike Vick is getting bit on solid indictments coming down on those allegations of dogfighting. Now, Arsalan, amazingly, the NFL won't be suspending him, which I think is outrageous. But will he end up skating by with just a fine and some community service?
You know,
what's that?
The first thing, Mike Vick, aside from President Jimmy Carter and the rapper Ludacris, you're the third richest man in Atlanta. You are the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. You got video games named after you. What are you doing running a dogfighting ring that violates federal laws, I can't think of a more knucklehead. He makes Pac-Man Jones look like Pippi Longstocking.
Well, everybody needs a hobby. Okay, well, what do you think, Spence? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, the toughest thing with these this new generation of athletes is they're like businesses of themselves, and a lot of the people they're paying off, they got shaky history. So you got to be loyal to your boys, right? But at the same time, you have to understand where your money comes from, where your fame comes from, where your bread is buttered. And he lost sight of that, and he's going to pay somehow.
I think more than anything, he answered the age-old question of who let the dogs out, because apparently it was Michael Vick.
now, Ruben, his big excuse or the excuses that people are making for him is that, you know, he's coming from this culture. All right, Ruben. What do you think, bro?
I don't think you can have, or we're about to find out, whether you can keep one foot in the culture you came up in and one foot in the NFL. And you know, can you come from these rural areas of the country where people say it's no big deal to have dogfights, but then go on to like sign Nike deals and stuff? And if the corporations and the NFL itself decides that that's not the image they want to have for you, you're going to have to choose one or the other. And it's been interesting sort of watching Vic sort of straddle these two worlds, but. You know, I think he crossed the line here. I think that there are scandals, and then there are scandals. And when you think about what goes on with dogfighting and the fact that the charges even include, like, doping up these dogs with steroids, and then it's going to take people who normally don't pay attention to football and just turn them off to Vic and the Falcons and to football in general if they don't watch it.
Let's
ask something. You know what interests me? Because I heard a couple people in the neighborhood talking about this, and they were saying, well, I wish people should care more about, you know, domestic violence or when these ball players, you know, hit their wives or something. And I don't see people getting all excited about that. And I'm just sort of, I don't know, I'm kind of floored. And on the other hand, you think there's people who want to just like reach through the TV and choke the guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I hear that. And I guess I just wondered, do you think anybody's going to say, hey, it's just dogs, it's no big deal. Why is everybody making such a big deal out of this? Does anybody think that?
I mean, the story is
Michelle, I'm sure somebody's going to say that. I'm sure somebody, some really insensitive person, maybe Jason Whitlock, what's up, Jay, is going to come out and say something like that. You know, Arsalan, what do you think?
No, he's going to blame it on hip-hop.
No, I'm out. I'm out. You guys do your thing.
Well, I know. I just think it's part of the cult of celebrity. I mean, you think you're invincible. I mean, you're Michael Bloody Vick. I mean, you're probably the greatest athlete in the National Football League, and you get $130 million for a 10-year contract. You're Michael Vick. You can do whatever you want. Don't fight dogs.
Right. I think it's a lot of football moms telling your kids you're not going to that game to see that dog killer.
Right. Exactly.
I think that's what that is. But anyway, I'm out.
That is the penalty.
Okay, well, here's the thing, fellas. We know we're going to all sit back and watch how this pans out. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, people that do this to dogs deserve to go to hell. And I said it. That's right. You know, that's right. I said it. So, yo, switching channels.
Execution by Pitbull.
Right, exactly. Switching
that's
channels from Switching channels from sports to entertainment, BET is set to air a show called High Ghetto Mess, and the Cosby anthropologists are all in a flutter. Now, Ghetto Mess is a TV adaptation of the website that documents fashion faux pas from the hood, like orange hair, personalized gold teeth, and designer fashions that probably aren't what the designer made. Now, you know what? That show hasn't screened yet, but critics are still already have gotten sponsors to pull advertising. Ruben, who cares what the American public thinks? Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah, I'm beginning to feel that way myself as I think about politics sometimes. I don't think the fact that it's coming from BET makes it right. I don't think the fact that these communities are sort of devouring themselves culturally is something mm-hmm. we should be applauding. But, you know, there's also kind of that strange little click in here. These are supposed to be, remember, reality shows.
Right.
But there's just no element of reality in the shows because these are not real people. These are not people leading lives that look like your life or my life.
You know Ruben? I'm gonna have to disagree with that. You know, I mean, basically, Hot Ghetto Mess, from what I understand about it, because nobody's seen it, and all these critics are coming out. Basically, from what I understand about it, it really is just kind of a reality show with the subtext ripped away. You know, it's just a bunch of people and kind of, you know, in different kind of sets of reality. But for me, you know what? I own a pair of Louis Vuitton Nikes. I'm proud to say that. You know, me personally, I'm not above a little ghetto fabulosity. And it just seems like there's a lot of hoopla over something nobody's even quite seen yet. You know, it must be a slow week at the country club canteen for what I can tell. And you know what, fellas? Check this out. On that note, we about to get on out of here. A-Train, my dude, you're back again, and you'll be back again.
Keep my seat warm, Jimmy.
Oh, well, okay. We'll see what we can do about that. Dr. Spence, my man, you're the one.
Crackhead for drug czar. Crackhead for drug czar.
And, of course, the R, Ruben Navarette.
Thanks,
back
Jimmy.
Again.
Take care,
and
man.
He'll be back again. I'm that dude, Jimmy Israel. And speaking of ghetto fabulosity, here's that girl, Michelle Martin.
You got that right. Jimmy Israel joined us from WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. He writes for the opinion page of the Lexington Herald Leader. Ruben Navarette joined us from KPBS in San Diego. He writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine and an attorney. He joined us from our studios in Washington. And Lester Spence is an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University. He joined us from member station WYPR in Baltimore. You can find links to all of our Barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thanks for visiting the Barbershop.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Yep, yep.